Amen. It is all glory to Christ that we come together and we celebrate. On this fourth Sunday in the resurrection season, we remember that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And we are remembering all that that means for us. The hope that we have. The joy that we have. The peace that we have. There's so much that is available to us through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so today, as I have for each Sunday, I'll read from you, read to you from John 11:25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Once again, I just marvel at Martha's faith. I marvel. She had not seen Lazarus raised from the dead yet. She did not know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet she says, yes, I believe these words that you have spoken. May we incorporate them into our daily life as well. Father God, help us. Help us to walk in the newness of life that the resurrection means. That the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of glorious light. Father, thank you for what the resurrection means and for the hope that it gives. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable us and empower us to live in to the resurrection life, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and through the power of his Holy Spirit that we have gathered today and ask these things. Amen.
How can I keep from singing?
There is an endless song, echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am holding on to
sing the songs you give.
the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up. Sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer.
So as we start this morning, we are in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 1 to 11. Now, I just want you to know that Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11 is only two sentences, so I'm really not asking, I'm not biting off too much. It's only two sentences. You see, the first sentence is verses 1 through 7, and the second sentence is verses 8 to 11. Paul, you gotta love him. He kind of strings things together. But I'm just gonna give you an outline to hang everything on before we actually read this. And so the first three verses, verses 1 to 7 is one sentence. The first three verses are basically saying, this is the problem of humanity. This is where we all were. This is us removed from God. And then the second portion, verses 4 to 7, that verse is, but God was not content to leave it that way. And so God has interceded. God has intervened. God has done something to change the condition. And so what we're doing here in these first seven verses is we're saying, this is the way it was, but this is how it can now be according to what God has done. And then verses 8 to 11 really tie it together and say, what is salvation anyway? And how do we approach it? And what is it? And one of the things that I want to say before I forget it, before I get excited about what's going on and I miss it completely, is that so often we move from being saved by grace to being kept by works. And we need to get away from that mindset. We need to understand that our salvation and the works that we do are all a part of God's grace. They are all a part of God's gift to us. And so it's not a matter of us earning anything. It's a matter of us walking in what God has for us. And it's really important that we get a hold of that. So before I go any further, I want to make sure I said that, because what can happen, especially as I get down to verse 11, is I can start to hammer on the works that he's created for us to do, and we need to be doing those works and get in there and go, go, go. And I just want you to know that even those works that we were made to do are a part of God's grace. They're a part of what God has given for us. And I just want to make sure that I didn't skip that. So let's look at this passage. And I'm actually going to read it out of two versions. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version, which is my usual translation. And then I'll read at least a part of it from the Passion Translation, which I know most of you don't have. So beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so, hopefully you saw that. You saw the bad news story, the way that we were, the way that all humanity was, that there's this kingdom of darkness and shame and hatred and rebellion, and this kingdom is what we were all a part of. And then we transferred and we see, but God wasn't willing to leave us there. And so God did something amazing, something marvelous for us. Out of his grace and out of his love and out of his mercy for us, he sent his son. And through Jesus Christ, one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture is that we have been raised up and seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies already. I don't know how that happened. All I know is that that's what the Word says. And then we wrapped it up with this beautiful passage that explains how this transaction takes place in our lives. That we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, we don't work for it. It's God's gift that he gives to us, including the works that he has prepared for us to do. They are his gift for us as well. You see, it's the unfolding of God's plan to redeem that which was lost, that which was made in his image, that was broken and distorted, that which was twisted by the chaos and the shame of the rebellion, and we entered into death. But through Jesus Christ and the resurrection, we enter into life. Hallelujah. Now I want you to close your eyes, because if you try and read along with me in your version, it's just going to be confusing. This is the Passion Translation of the same thing. And there's just a couple of things that I really want us to get out of this, but I'm going to read the whole thing because that's how I am. And his fullness fills you. Even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life, We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us. With such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in Him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works He would do to fulfill it. I kind of like the emotion and the passion. And one of the things that I like in the Passion translation of that, There are things that are wrong with it, but there's really good stuff in it. And one of the things that I like about it is an area that I kind of wanted to focus on today, and I've already shown it to you a little bit, and that is that there are two kingdoms at work here. There's the kingdom of darkness and death. There's the kingdom that is under wrath. There's the kingdom that is separated from God and that is anathema to God, that is bearing the very wrath of God. That's a kingdom, and it's real, and it's at work in our world. And then there's the kingdom of light, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom of love, the kingdom where God is the rightful king and the ruler. And by the way, God is the rightful king and ruler even over the kingdom of darkness. And He will do away with the kingdom of darkness someday. And so if we are going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and if we are going to experience the grace and the love and the mercy, if we are going to forever be examples of God's kindness and mercy and grace, we have to move in to His kingdom. We have to say yes to Him. We have a choice here and now to do that. For by grace we have been saved, and that grace is available to us. That grace is something that comes when we say yes to Jesus. So we were dead. One of the things that I struggle with, and I've read it now a couple of times for you, three times, four times. This is actually the fourth Sunday, I suppose, that I have read this passage to you. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." I'm good with that. Okay? I'm good up to that point. "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? You know, that's just one of those things that you kind of... How come people are still dying? How come the Apostle Paul and Peter and all those who lived in and walked with him, how come they're still dying? Because Jesus said, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Well, it's all about this kingdom. And it's all about spiritual life. And the reality is that I like the Passion Translation that apart from Jesus Christ and before he filled you, you were just corpses. You could breathe and you moved, but you were just a dead corpse. You weren't really alive. And see, this is, if we go back to Genesis and we go back to the Garden of Eden and we go back to the command of God, God said to Adam that when you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And we look at that and sometimes people say, well, but Adam didn't die. Did God lie? No, God did not lie. God cannot lie. It's not even in his nature. It's an inconceivability for him. Okay? And so it happened. But see, we, you and I, here on planet Earth, we tend to think that the only life that matters is physical life. And we will do anything to protect and preserve physical life. And that is wrong. Because physical life here on planet Earth is not the most important reality. Physical life here on planet Earth is a good gift from God, and it is a means and a place and a time in which we come to know God and in which we are able to experience his presence and where we can become conformed to his image. There are lots of good things about this physical life. But physical life is not the be-all, end-all. And it's not even really life apart from God. You see, in order to experience true life, we have to be connected to the source of life, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we were dead. Even though we were physical, we were walking around corpses. We were dead in the trespasses and in the sins, our rebellions against God the Father. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, following the devil, Satan, the original tempter in the garden, following his way and his will, trying to be like God, without actually having God. And trying to reverse the sin and the chaos and the disrepair apart from God. And you just can't do it. And that is death. Working to overcome the curse of sin without turning to the only one who has the power to overcome it. There are two kingdoms. How often do you think about that? How often? We live in such a materialistic world. We live in a world that is so heavily influenced by naturalism that we forget there is a spiritual world that is more real than this physical world we live in. How often do we even give it credence? How often do we even think about it? And see, the reality is that there are spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realm seeking to undo us. And the really exciting thing is that God's love and God's grace and God's goodness to us is going to be forever on display to let them know how wrong they were. He is going to use us as his examples of love and grace in that spiritual realm, and we are even going to rule over and judge the angels. I don't understand all that, but it's in the Bible, so I have to kind of believe it. It's just one of those things that I got to grab a hold of at some point in time and say, okay, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. And then the thing that I want you to really grab a hold of is in verses 4-7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Do you realize how much God loves you? Do you have even an inkling of how much God loves you? You see, the reality is that God loves you an inconceivable amount, and I'm even using the word inconceivable accurately here. Unlike in Princess Bride. He loves us more than we can even begin to fathom or wrap our minds around. In fact, later in this very letter, Paul prays for the Ephesians that they would come to know the unknowable love of God. It's one of those great passages in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And you read through that and Paul's praying that we would come to know something that we can't ultimately know. How much God loves us. How great the Father's love is for us. It's astounding. And because of that, God sent His Son. God became flesh. As I said, the flesh must be important. Being bodily present must matter. Because God became flesh and He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. He didn't send a hologram or a hologram. He came. He became one of us in order to demonstrate God's love. And He demonstrated it fully through His death on the cross. A love that is greater than anything we can imagine. And through that gift, through that grace, we have been saved. We have been made alive. We have been quickened. And this also helps us to understand another passage that we oftentimes struggle with in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when, behold, the old has passed away, all things have become new. Have you ever wrestled with that one? I still have the same habits. I still have the same struggles. I still have the same wrestling. And yet the Bible tells me very clearly that the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have stepped from being a dead corpse walking around to being a living spiritual being. We are a part of the new realm. We are a part of the new kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom of light. Everything has changed, and what we are now able to do as spirit-filled, spirit-empowered beings is far greater than anything that we could ever accomplish without God. Everything has been changed. Everything is new. Everything is different. It's so radically new and so radically different that Paul goes on in this passage and he says, in fact, we have already been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. This is mind-blowing. This is just one of those moments in Scripture where you're like, really? How can this be? I mean, I feel like I'm still right here. But it's the positionally versus practically is the way theologians deal with this. Positionally, we're there. But practically, we're still having to work our way there. We'll get there someday. But I just want you to know that when you come to Jesus Christ, you come to the love and the grace and the mercy of our God. You come to the one who loves you more than you could possibly know. And we should not, in Christ Jesus, live under a burden of guilt and shame any longer. We have been delivered. We have been redeemed. We are now God's kids. Such love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. It's not that's what we will be. That's what we are. And he raises us up and he seats us with Christ in the heavenly places so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You know, we're going to be living examples of God's glory and his grace and his love for all of eternity. That's pretty crazy. For by grace you've been saved. Through faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Simply trusting that what God said is so. And then living into it. Simply trusting that God has done it. And then living into it. Believing that. Instead of believing all the lies of Satan, instead of believing all the lies you tell yourself, instead of believing all the lies that the world tells you, that you're not good enough, that you're not smart enough, that you don't deserve it. I mean, that's actually true. We don't. But that's beside the point, because God says we do deserve it. God says he wants to give it. Not so much that we have earned it, but that he wants to give it to us. You've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Hallelujah. What a gift. What a remarkable gift. For we are his workmanship, and I like that. We are his poetry. His creative action. The power of God creating in and among us and weaving us together. And you know, God had a plan and a purpose, and I don't know, I've been reading Unseen Realms, and there's stuff that's flavoring, and I'm thinking about it, but I'm not all the way through it yet, and I'm not sure I 100% agree with it, but there are things I do agree with in it, you know, and my mind's muddled right now. But part of the Unseen Realms and part of the separation of the good and the evil and all of that, part of what we're looking at there when we think about that is that God originally entrusted other beings with the power to rule even in the spiritual realms. He had spiritual beings before he had us physical beings, and he gave them authority and he gave them power, and they rebelled against him. And then he created us and planet Earth, and they were potentially a part of all of that. Not major movers, but they were involved somehow, and then God says, have fellowship with me. I love you. Walk with me. I've made you in my image. And you have access to every good thing. And I want you. And he entrusts us then with authority and rule. And he gives us a job to do. And we blew that bad. And death entered through all of that. I just want you to know that now what God is doing in us and through us when we give ourselves to him is he's beginning the restoration of all things. He's beginning the new creation in us and through us, and he's the only one who can bring it to completion. He's the only one who can make it all that it's supposed to be. But he's using us. I don't understand a God who is perfect in wisdom and perfect in knowledge and perfect in power and might and strength trusting us with anything. And yet he does. And he gives us great things to do to bring about his presence and his order. Things that he has created in Christ Jesus for us to do. Things that have been prepared. Things that we can live into. That we can walk in. So once we walked in the kingdom of darkness, just doing our own thing, and now we walk in the kingdom of light, serving him and loving him. There is power in this. The power of God's love and his grace and his mercy. And if you haven't experienced it, I would call you today to do that. Give your life to Jesus. Don't wait another second. Don't wait another minute. Give your life to Jesus and say, here I am. I'm a mess. I'm not worthy. But I believe that what you have said is true. And I'm going to give myself to you and ask you to do with me whatever you want, because I was made for you originally anyway. And I might as well at least end my life as a living being doing what you want instead of a dead corpse walking. So give yourself to Jesus this morning. Walk in the love and the grace, the mercy and the freedom that he has made to you. Believe in the power of the resurrection that has you already seated at the right hand in Jesus Christ. That's crazy, right? But it's true. Father, help us. Help us to believe that which you have said. Help us to accept that which you have given. Enable it and empower us to embrace it, because, Father, it is your grace that leads us to you. It is your grace that saves us. It is your grace that cleanses and fills and sanctifies us. And it is your grace that will lead us home. It is your grace that empowers us. It's all about you, Father. Help us to believe that. And to live into it, that you might be glorified. For truly, you are worthy. And you are the only one who is worthy. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Think that Josh knew what I was preaching on today. He did. Grace. Grace. God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Believe that. Trust that. Walk in that grace today. Because that grace is a manifestation of God's great love for you. And then as you walk in that love, give it to others so that they too might know God's grace. God bless you as you go.